You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we welcome you to the second half of the program. We're delighted you're here. Jim Sterk, the athletic director at Missouri, will join us in about an hour. Don't forget Gus Malzahn tomorrow. We'll talk to Mike Griffith in a couple of minutes about the Dogs as they come back on. Let's get back to your calls at 855-242-7285, and let's head to Ohio. And Mike, you're on the air. Go right ahead. Thank you for the call.
Hello, Paul.
Hey there, Mike.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
All right, good. I love your show. I don't get to listen to it every day, but I get it as often as I can. And I was curious if you've ever had Dr. Fauci on your show as a guest.
We have not. He's done a lot of interviews. It's someone we thought about maybe a couple of months ago, but what would you like to hear from Dr. Fauci?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think you would be a good interviewer for him, because I remember one time I heard Joe Tessitore say that he thought the two best interviewers that he ever had contact with were you and Howard Stern.
Wow.
And so I think you would be a good guy to interview him, and certainly with so many people being sick now, I just think it would be helpful to hear what he's got
well,
to say.
Well, I'll tell you what, we will make an effort. Certainly, I know how to get a hold of him, and I find him to be a very engaging personality.
Okay, well, I just wanted to check with you about that.
Well, thank you. No, I appreciate that very much. No, we're always delighted to get suggestions, and that's a really good one. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay, you bet. All right, bye, Paul.
Bye, bye. Nice of you to call. Give me just a second here. I've lost my caller board, so I'm going to have to wait for it to reprogram so I can know who's out there, unless the guys in the other room can. Let's go to Georgia. Matt Hatter, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
We're doing great, thank you.
I got two things to say. I'm from Athens, Georgia, but Roll Tide, and why the hell does David Pollock hate Bulldogs and Bama so bad?
Yeah, you know, Hatter, I was surprised. I don't know. I mean, I haven't really seen David in a while, but I was surprised by his comments the other day about Alabama and because of Jason Waddle. But you know, listen, he's certainly entitled to his opinion, and he gave it. Hey, thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. Let me get. I think Troy, you're up next in Fort Worth. Hey, Troy, go right ahead.
Well, I think that's Charlie in Fort Worth.
Okay, well, listen, if something could go wrong right now, it is for me, so go right ahead. Glad you're on.
Well, thanks a lot for taking the call. Before I get to my subject, I want to mention the guy talking about Arkansas beating A&M all those years in the South Louis Conference. When I was in school, we not only lost to Arkansas 4 years, we lost to Rice all four years.
Oh, my goodness. That's pretty bad.
I think I want to talk about the gentleman yesterday mentioning Nick Saban could win anywhere, and I agree with that. But there's one thing that ongoing programs have in common, and those are a large alumni base, money, which usually amounts to facilities and normally comes from a big state school with a base, institutional commitment, recruiting footprint, and legacy. And these schools that have those things, when they get the right coach, it makes it a long haul. And when they don't stay down very long. For example, K-State with Bill Snyder. And when all those things come together, you get what you've got there. You look at Texas or Southern Cal and tell me if somebody like Urban Meyer would go there, they couldn't bring their program right back up by the bootstraps. So it's kind of a chicken and egg thing, but the schools that keep it all together have all those things that I've listed above.
Well, you're right. Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate the call. Stymie is up next. Hey, Stymie, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
Hey, good to talk to you again. I just wanted to say Arkansas's defense seems to be doing really good under Barry Odom, and Alabama's defense does not seem to be doing very good under Pete Golding. I just wanted to know what your thoughts were. Maybe Saban offers Pete Golding a job as D coordinator maybe next year.
Yeah, you know, listen, I have no idea what Barry Odom would want to do. I don't know why Barry Odom would want to leave Arkansas right now and head to Alabama. I'm not being dismissive of Nick Saban, but I think he's got a better job right now where he's appreciated and he's not under the thumb of Saban and that pressure cooker. How about Ken in Philadelphia? Hey, Ken, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Well, thank you, Mr. Feinbaum, for taking my phone call.
Thank you.
As you know, I'm a real Volunteer fan, and of course, it's been a disappointing season so far. I mean, well, I don't know if it's disappointing, but I think that, what do you think? I thought their performance against Alabama was quite good, considering. I mean, it was one of the best defenses they were up against. What do you think?
I thought they, I don't know. When a team is out of a game that quickly, it's hard for me to make a fair evaluation. It was certainly, could have been worse, I guess is all I'm saying. What was it, 31 points or 28? I can't remember.
It was 17-48, I think. Yes.
Yeah. I have a hard time, Ken, when you're talking about the greatest SEC rivalry of my youth and most of my adult life to find a lot of good in losing to your rival by 31 points. I know where you're coming from, and I think that's where Pruitt was trying to talk about the gap. But I saw a lot of things I didn't like.
Well, do you think Pruitt's on the hot seat? Of course, I think he will be next year.
No, he's not on the hot seat this year. I don't think it matters whether he loses the rest of the games. Nothing is going to change. The university and the administration is completely behind him. But you know, the one thing that I think he has lost is goodwill, and he had that. He had that a couple weeks ago, and it is slowly dissipating.
I think we'll be back, Mr. Feinbaum.
Let me ask you a question, Ken.
Yes, please.
What do you see right now that encourages and emboldens you to believe that Tennessee is going to be back?
I don't know. I think it's more perseverance, determination. I think that he can bring that out of the young men. I think he recruits well. I think he.
Well, give me. I'm not trying to be difficult here, but I'm really fascinated by your bright guy. I want to know what you've seen out of Pruitt that makes you think that he is going to move this program to the upper echelon of the SEC.
I think it'll take time, and I hope the Vol fans are patient.
I'm not talking about being aspirational. I'm not talking about hope. I'm just asking, what have you seen from him so far?
I like his recruiting. I like his personality. I think he's got a great he can surround himself with bright people. I think it's the program.
And you think he has a good coaching staff?
Yes, I do. I think he'll continue to develop his coaching.
I know I'm sounding like I've sworn
no,
you.
No, I understand.
But I just want to know what someone else, you're a Tennessee guy, what's the bright spot of his coaching staff right now?
I like Chaney. I like him very much.
Really?
And I think he will continue to and I think that bringing some of his former players back as coaches is going to be a great thing. I think he will continue to find great talent. I think it's going to take time because I think the cupboard was very bare when he came in, and I think that it was just a mess. And I like the approach that he takes. That's okay. Just my own personal feeling.
Well, listen, thank you, Ken. A lot of people would dispute that there were some pretty talented players. Now, they're all gone. Most of them are gone by now. Anyway, there's nothing wrong with being aspirational. I was just curious because my friends up there are not quite as convinced about Chaney as you are. We will take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Mike Griffith will join us next. He used to cover that program. Now he covers Georgia.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. I want to follow up with that last caller, Ken from Philadelphia. Nice guy. I know him. And I have no problem with anyone being zealous about their school, especially when it's my school as well. But I want to bring in Mike Griffith here. We are obviously going to talk about Georgia, but Mike covered the final days of Butch Jones up there, and more than just the final days. And Mike, I think we all thought Pruitt was trending in the right direction, even though he's 9-12. In the SEC and 500 overall, but would you comment on what the man said a minute ago, that Pruitt inherited no players and Butch Jones left the cupboard bare?
Well, I don't know about now, but you know, I know when they played Georgia that 10 out of the 22 position starters were guys that Butch Jones recruited, and you can argue whether they were good enough to still be starting 3 years later or not, but you know, really, Jared Garantano seems to be the guy in the middle of the fire here. And you know, all I can say is he's still the starter 3 years later. So either he's good enough to beat out everybody that Jeremy Pruitt's brought in, or they haven't brought in any difference makers at quarterbacks. It can't be both. I do think Jared Garantano has improved. I saw him go 11 for 13 in the first half against Georgia, and then in the second half, his offensive line got gassed. They've proven to be overrated, and you know, I think even Kirby Smart said he felt like in the second half maybe Tennessee's offensive line wasn't in as good a condition as Georgia's front. Few are, to be fair. But look, you know, he lost two great receivers in Juwan Jennings and Marquez Callaway, and I can't even tell you who's playing tight end for him. I knew they had a Juco All-American the last couple years. But, you know, so much of this, especially the quarterback position, is dependent upon who's around you. You know, I saw Jake Fromm's numbers drop off last year. Look, Jake didn't forget how to play quarterback, but he lost three or four guys to the NFL, and Jarrett lost a couple guys. The way I look at it, Tennessee needs to get back to beating who they're supposed to beat, and they beat South Carolina, and they beat Missouri. Now, Kentucky is the game where we're all kind of going, wow, what happened there? Garantano with some pick sixes. It just looked like the locker room was gone. And so this is a really important bye week for Jeremy and his staff. They got to get the players back. Because I believe that Tennessee is motivated properly and those players are plugged in, they're more talented than Arkansas. You can't say, Paul, that they're not as talented as Arkansas. If Tennessee, as well-coached as they are, and I think he's got a very good staff, I would dispute you on that. I think it's a good staff that Tennessee has put together. But if those coaches coach and those players play, they should beat Arkansas.
Hold on. Let me ask you about Chaney, though, Mike, because yeah. Chaney, you're familiar with Chaney, obviously, and that's the one I really want to get your insight on, because the offense just doesn't seem to be making a lot of sense at this moment.
There's not – you're lacking playmakers. Like I said, you look on the perimeter. Listen, I like these kids. Brandon Johnson and Josh Palmer, I like both of these kids. I was in their living room after that they'd committed before they signed and did stories on them. These are great kids. But I don't think we're going to see him starting in the NFL anytime soon. You got to have some perimeter weapons. You got to have some guys to throw to. And you look at Jarrett's stats, and he's good on the deep ball because he's throwing the fade because they can't get the separation underneath. I'm not seeing Tennessee guys running wide open like the Alabama guys that we saw, Jalen Waddle and Devontae. You don't see that, you know. And I saw the same thing with Fromm. Again, you know, Tennessee fans will remember Casey Clawson. His best year was his sophomore year. Then all his receivers went away. He didn't get worse. He'll tell you, man, I was at my best my junior and senior year, but I didn't have the same receivers. And I think that's what's happened to Tennessee. And, you know, that goes back to recruiting. You know, Jeremy's had three classes, and a lot of these guys he's recruited, he needs them to step up and start performing and quit complaining about what was there 3 years ago. It's been 3 years. Look around the SEC. How many teams have guys that were recruited 3 years ago still starting from a previous admin? It doesn't happen that often. So Tennessee needs to start playing the guys they recruited and winning with those guys, or stop saying that you don't have talent left over, because those are the guys that are still on the field. I still see Ty Chandler playing running back. I just talked about Josh Palmer, Brandon Johnson, the other receiver, Jared Garantano. These are all guys, Trey Smith on the offensive line. These are guys that were inherited. They're still starting for Tennessee 3 years later.
You mentioned Waddle a minute ago, and I've heard you talk about Waddle's loss to Alabama and how significant it could be. You've been on that since the moment it happened. What are your thoughts on that?
Big drop off from Waddle to Slade Bolden. I mean, the kid already dropped a touchdown pass and fumble. I mean, Alabama took a shot there. You know, the next man up. There's not a next man up that runs a 4.240. You lost the most dynamic skill position player in the country, and I wonder about him being back returning kicks as a 4-touchdown favorite. Just like I wondered about Tua being in a game with a bad ankle and a 35-7 lead. I mean, did you really need that last time? You know, I understand, Paul, these coaches get paid to win games. They get paid to win big. And now we have this college football playoff committee that you've got to impress, and you got to score as many points as you can. That's why Ohio State had to ram one in there against Nebraska. You got to run it up, man, because those guys are looking at the numbers. You know, Nebraska, you know, Oklahoma gets in. Well, look where their offense is ranked, you know. And so these coaches now realize that a lot of these players are only going to be around for 3 years. So let's squeeze every bit of blood out of them that we can in those 3 years, because they're going pro. It was a different era. I don't know if you remember Sean Alexander when we were both in Alabama in the 90s, Paul, but they didn't have him back returning kicks. They thought he was too valuable for that. And if you look in the NFL, where they only dress out 48 guys, you don't see elite players returning kicks. Somebody said, what about Alvin Kamara? Okay, he's returned two. What about Tyler Lockett? Okay, one. But you Google NFL kick return leaders, and you're going to think these guys belong on milk carton. You're not going to recognize anybody's names because they don't put their elite guys back there because there's value, and that's part of roster management. And yes, kickoffs are among the most dangerous plays. So are punt returns. There's data out there. That's why they keep changing the rules. So the coaches just say, well, it ain't no different. It's very different. Again, use the Google machine, folks. There's a reason why the NFL doesn't have Ezekiel Elliott back returning kicks. And there's a reason why Georgia didn't have DeAndre Swift back returning kicks, or in 2017, Sony Michel or Nick Chubb for that matter.
Mike Griffiths joining us. Let's get to Georgia, because they're back now. Big game this weekend. Break it down for us, and we'll try not to peek ahead to Florida.
Right. Well, you know, there is kind of a peek ahead. This is kind of a telltale game. First of all, let me say this. You know, put the little upset alert. Kirby Smart, 2-3 in SEC noon game kickoffs. Now, two of those losses were in 2016. Last year, South Carolina. Georgia, not a fast-starting team, but beyond the early kickoff time, where guys will tell you, look, it's just not – they don't like it as much. Kirby says, well, get used to it. You know, in the NFL, you kick off at 1. Well, these kids, they don't like those noon kickoffs as much. And this goes way back, and if they're going to be honest about it, they'll tell you that. But also, Georgia has yet to score points on an opening drive this year. That's 4 opening drives, and Georgia hasn't put any points up. In their opening drive of the second half, they've got 2 field goals, one of them. They went 1 yard back after a turnover. So they've really only had 1 sustained drive. So not a fast-starting team. That creates a window for a team like a Kentucky, or maybe down the road Missouri or Mississippi State or any of those other garbage teams they have after Florida, to maybe get some points and get some momentum. So slow-starting team, historically not good in early kickoffs. Now here's the scary part if you're Georgia. Not a good red zone team. You score touchdowns less than 60% of the time that you get in the red zone. Florida's hitting it about 80%, All right. So when we do look ahead and you wonder how the Gators can do it, it's because they score touchdowns, not field goals. Georgia has had issues in short yardage. Okay, where am I going with this? We're bringing it all the way back to the run game. And we're going to see what they can do against a decent Kentucky front. Now, Missouri had 220 yards, you know, just kind of pounded them physically last week in Columbia. Speaking of road trips, nobody likes. And I don't know what version of Kentucky that we're going to get in Lexington on Saturday, but you can bet Kirby's going to pound it, and he's going to run the football. And he needs to find some explosive plays on the ground. 286 carries for Georgia since they've had a running back break a run longer than 26 yards. 12 games since they've had a running back break a touchdown longer than 30 yards. You know, they've got this kid, Kendall Milton. You're looking at him here. 24-yard run. Hey, that's the longest run of the season for Georgia. James Cook, younger brother of Dalvin Cook, number four here, had that 82-yard touchdown catch in the first half against Alabama. He didn't have a catch in the second half. Went away from him. And here's Zamir White, everybody's favorite. Everybody wants to see number three, the kid that's overcome two knee surgeries. But listen, he's over 150 carries, and his career long is 29 yards. Nothing longer than 20 yards this year. They've got to find some dynamite back there in their backfield and find some explosive plays. If you're a slow starting team and you don't make explosive plays, you are really, and not good in the red zone, you are really narrowing that margin for error. And Georgia does have the best defense in the country. And thank goodness, because without it, they'd probably be about a 500 team.
Kirby Smart was here the other day, and he continues to stand up for Bennett. And I have to ask you, because it may not be a factor this week, maybe it will, but you would think it's going to start factoring back in again next week. I mean, you pointed this out before the Alabama game, so what gives with Stetson?
Well, first of all, Kirby is focused on Kentucky and nothing else. I can tell you that. Right now, he's a snarling, barking Georgia Bulldog. You know, they ran out of questions for him on the SEC teleconference. People are, you know, they didn't want to ask him any more questions. He is, you talk about fired up and focused, man. I'm surprised you got him on the show and he didn't come through the screen at you when you asked about Alabama. This guy wants back on the field. He's upset. His defense just gave up more yardage than they've ever given up since he's been at Georgia. And he wants to get his guys back on the field and dialed in. And this week is all about Kentucky. It's not about Florida. It's not about when you play Alabama again. It's not about what Nick Saban said. Kirby, if he could put on the uniform right now, Paul, he would do it. This is one intense dude, man. He is fired up right now. I haven't seen him this fired up in a while. The quarterback situation is interesting.
Mike, slow down. Is he more fired up than you right now? I've never seen you this fired up.
Then you haven't been paying attention because I'm always bringing it, Paul. Every Thursday, man. Come on, you know that.
This is so easy for me. I don't want this segment to end. Keep going.
Yeah, good stuff here. So, but we've got to see how George is able to run the football, because if they can run it more successfully, that's going to give Stetson Bennett something to play with as far as a play action game. We know he can't go downfield. He's only ranked 10th in the SEC in downfield accuracy. He's only ranked 8th in the SEC in QB rating. This is not a great quarterback, okay? There's not many quarterbacks in the SEC who aren't better than him from a skill standpoint. But to be fair, he's only making his fourth start. He's only 5'9". He's a former walk-on and JUCO guy. It's a great story. If Georgia can keep winning with Stetson Bennett, it's a great story. But I can tell you this. They're not going to win a title with Stetson Bennett under center, because we've seen great offense does beat great defense. And whether it's Alabama, although, you know, they lost Waddle, that's a really big hit that could have just cost him a national title. Whether it's Ohio State or Clemson, there's going to be somebody on the other side.
Hold on a second. Mike.
What?
I mean, Nick Saban doesn't need me to stand up for him, but I want you to explain this. I mean, you have now written the Crimson Tide off because of the loss of one player. I mean, I know you've explained the philosophy, but I know you've seen this team play. They just got through beating Georgia. I mean, what gives?
Yeah. You know what? I saw their best game. They're not going to play that good again this year. It's 2018 all over again. You know, and everybody, the poor Big Ten. Now they won't play 8 games. Who cares? What does Ohio State need to play, 5 or 6? You know they're going to be in the playoff. Meanwhile, over here in the SEC, everybody's beating each other's brains out. It's 2018 all over again. Alabama was the most prolific offense in history before Tua got hurt in 2018. It was never the same. If Clemson and Alabama play in September or October 2018, Bama wins by two touchdowns. But by the time they play Clemson in January, that's a walking wounded. You got guys beat up, nicked up, and now the SEC's playing a 10-game schedule this year? Are you kidding me? These guys are going to be so – the attrition has already started. Waddle's gone. If you could – you know, this changes how defenses, how good defenses play against Alabama. Because, listen, Slade Bolden is not the same guy. He's not even in the same zip code as Waddle. Nobody is. This guy's a 4-2-40 guy. You could not afford to lose this guy. Now, you can say what you want. Saban is a great coach. He sets the standard. Right. But at the end of the day, he lost his best player returning kicks in a game. He was a 4-touchdown favorite. So you can make what you want out of that, Paul. But the bottom line is we're not going to see the same Alabama. Mac's going to get hit more.
But Mike, it was the opening. Adjust. It was the opening kickoff. They weren't up by 31. It was the first kickoff. It was the opening kickoff.
Well, thank good he was back there because you never know what would have happened. I mean, you talked earlier about what your thoughts on Tennessee were. I just think when you've only got two great receivers like Alabama does in Devontae and Waddle. Now, last year with Judy and Ruggs, okay, go ahead. You can lose one out of four, but you're down to two big-time players, and now you're down to one receiver. So this changes how defenses can play it. I still think Alabama wins out, Paul. Make no mistake about it. But it does tilt things in Georgia's favor, provided – that JT Daniels gets healthy and Georgia is able to get their best quarterback on the field, because that's another injury that we wonder about. And Kirby's kept us all in the dark. But yesterday, the Georgia tight end said, we're hoping we can get him on the field soon. Thought that was interesting.
So, Mike, I know I'm going over. Everybody, hold on. If JT gets healthy, and you say he is, and we reconvene on December 19th, you're sticking with Georgia, right?
Oh, yeah, especially now that Waddle's gone. But, you know, there could be attrition. You know, maybe Georgia loses George Pickens. Oh, speaking of missing persons, has 13 catches this year in four games, had 12 in one game against Baylor. Okay, that's what JT Daniels brings you back on the field, is a guy that can get the ball to those perimeter receivers and put the ball downfield and stretch the field. They've got to do some magic here. They're playing in a phone booth. Every possession is like the red zone, right? And Alabama adjusted, and they moved that safety up, and they said, you know what? Let's see if Stetson Bennett can beat us deep. And, Paul, I want to see what Kentucky does. If Kentucky slows Georgia down, and it's possible, because I just told you their running game has not been explosive, and if they're able to keep Stetson Bennett under guard there and keep it close, that there could be a quarterback change. I think it's real close. From what I'm hearing, it could be very close if Kirby feels JT Daniels is healthy or that he wants to give Dwan Mathis another chance. You could see some action this week if Kentucky keeps it close. But, yes, I'm sticking with that prediction right now, especially now that Waddle's gone. You just took the best playmaker, the most explosive guy off the field, and Alabama's very good still, great offensive line. But there's still six games left in this SEC season. And if Nick's going to keep throwing his best players on the return team, somebody else could get hurt. Or if you keep your quarterback in when you're up by five touchdowns, I mean, you're one injury away in this league. It's tough. You know that. We've seen it over and over again. 2018 all over again. Alabama loses a key guy, and it could ultimately cost them in the college football playoff.
I'm just disappointed that I have to wait till next Thursday to do this all over
again.
Those
aren't novel concepts. I know this has gone through your mind, okay, Paul. I know you've thought the same thing. I mean, this is why the NFL doesn't put their best players back there. They understand that, look, you can't afford to lose an Ezekiel Elliott returning kicks. You could, we didn't see Jerry Rice running back kick. You can't lose these guys on special teams play. They're too bad. Could it have happened if they were playing receiver? Sure, could have happened if they walked out the front door and tripped over their feet. I get it. I'm just saying, when you're Alabama and you're playing for all the marbles every year, I think you've got to be careful and selective where you use these guys. And the documentation's out there. Saban, Kirby, all these guys that do it, they know the numbers on kickoff and punt returns. And anybody watching, all they got to do is Google it, and you'll see that the information is out there that these are the most dangerous plays in football.
I apologize to all the network affiliates on radio. We've never obliterated 5 minutes past the cutoff point, but we had to listen to some more with Mike. Mike, thank you. We'll talk to you next week. All the best, my friend. Great, good to have you on.
Appreciate it.
We are heading to a break later than normal, only 5 minutes late, but we're coming right back.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. Great to have you here. And we're all still trying to recover from that last segment. It was quite entertaining. Let's check in with Joe in Louisiana. Hey, Joe. Thanks. Good afternoon. Hey, Joe.
Oh, okay. Paul, I was just listening to you a while ago with this Mike Griffith.
Yes.
Very knowledgeable. And I'm a big SEC college football fan. You know, now that Waddle is gone, I really think that Bama needs to give Bryce Young more reps, because he's going to be very important to bringing them further. Because he's going to be good. He's going to be
well. Yeah, I agree. But I mean, you've got Mac Jones playing as well as anybody in the country, and yeah, you may get an opportunity this weekend against Mississippi State. You'll get some opportunities that I think will be beneficial to him. But thanks for the call. Kim is in Alabama. Kim, thank you, and good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I'm just calling. We need some help down here in Selma because we don't have any power. The hurricane came through last night.
Right.
And we had to cut our way out of our driveway with chainsaws and everything. The power is down. We don't have. They're saying we're not going to have power for like 3 or 4 days at least.
Yeah, I saw it. I mean, it's everywhere, even where I am, and I'm considerable distance from Selma. That hurricane has knocked power out from Louisiana, Mississippi, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, North and South Carolina. We're talking big numbers, considerable millions of people. So I feel terribly for you. How are you getting by?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I thought maybe FEMA or American Red Cross would be here somewhere, but we can't find anybody.
Okay, well, the good news is this. A lot of people watching and listen to this show. So what part of Selma are you in?
I'm sitting at the Walmart in the parking lot.
Okay, well, I do know where that is. Well, you take care of yourself. We'll try to see if we can facilitate that, Kim. Appreciate it. Let me check in with Bill in Florida. Hey, Bill, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there, Bill.
Hello.
Hey there. Good afternoon.
Paul?
Yes. Yeah, I don't know what happened there, but we just looked up and realized we were late Anyway, so we'll come back to that. We appreciate your calls wherever you are. And more to come. Jim Stirk in the final hour, the Missouri AD. We are still recovering from Hurricane Griffith. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. Great to have you here. And Michael is up next. Hey, Michael.
How you doing, sir?
We are doing great. How are you?
Well, I'm kind of and everything. Got some problems, but we won't. I'm calling Feinbaum. That us, the people, And what I wondered about, Coach Saban knows how to coach a football team. And yes, Waddle's loss was a great, great shame. If that happens to every football team in the United States of America, we have injuries. Could it be prevented? I don't know. Yes, if you didn't want to play. But the young man wanted to be back at return punts. So why is everybody so upset about it? Football is a game of energy. I wish he never got hurt, but he did. But the football season is going on.
Yeah, Michael. I mean, it's one thing if you're an average kickoff returner, even though you're maybe the best wide receiver in the country, but when you are the best return specialist in the country, and that is going to play a big role in your draft status, you don't mind. You want to do that. It was also the opening kickoff. Now, there's always been a debate about Nick Saban leaving players in too long. We've had that with Tua. But you know, plenty of players, great players, have returned kicks. That is not an unusual occurrence. Thank you for the call. Do appreciate it. John is up next. And John, go right ahead. You are on the air.
Yes, sir. You know, people just keep shooing in Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson. But I look at the calendar, and last time I checked, this is 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, something's got to happen, right? The only poll worse than the Gallup poll is the AP poll, as far as getting it right. I mean, there's no question. They look like they passed the eye test, but this is something.
No,
something
you're right. And by the way, as you say that, Wisconsin has just acknowledged there are three more players have tested positive, bringing the total to 16. So they're in a really precarious position about having to miss another game. So two games. So I don't think, I don't know, but it just seems like you're absolutely right. Anything could happen this year. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Jerry is in Arkansas, and you are next up. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
First time caller.
Wonderful. Great to have you on.
I was calling about the guy that was talking about playing your great athlete at returning the kick or returning the punt or... I mean, I know he's excited and he's all talking about it, but, I mean, my best example would be primetime.
Yeah.
Why did they let him return kicks or punts?
Well, because you understand it. A punt return, a kick return can completely change a game around.
Exactly. So I just really don't understand his thinking on that, but... I'm going to play the best I got, and I hope they don't get hurt, I promise.
Well, that is always the risk, and it's not like Nick Saban doesn't understand that. Hey, we have to take a break. We are back with one more hour, including Jim Stirk in the final stanza. We're coming back.